Morton Solicitors on Stray FM's Family Show.
Today then, on Stray FM's Family Show, the subject is cohabiting couples. I'm pretty sure I am actually a cohabiting couple, but we'll come on to what exactly that is, what the definition is very shortly. I have Julie in the studio with me. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Beth.
Let me know, what's your full title and what sort of a solicitor are you?
I'm a senior solicitor at Newton's, which is a legal practice based here in Yorkshire, and we've got offices here locally in Harrogate, Knaresborough and Ripon.
There are a lot of different subjects and places that people can get in touch with Newton solicitors. The cohabiting couple, though, let me explain why I think I'm a cohabiting couple. I live with my boyfriend Sam. We've lived together for 4 years. We're not married, but we live in the same house. Is that the definition of a cohabiting couple?
It is. A cohabiting couple are a man and a woman, or a same-sex couple who are living together, regardless of whether they have children or not. Sometimes people think that you have to have children to be classed as a cohabitant or a cohabiting couple, but no, that's not the position. And if you are living together and you have a financial connection to each other, then you will probably be cohabitants.
Okay, I think that's what I am then. I am a cohabitant. We've got some figures here of how many are actually in Yorkshire and in England. They are the fastest growing family type in the UK, and there are more than 6 million people living in a cohabiting couple relationship. Do you know how many there are in Yorkshire and the Humber specifically?
I do, yes. Cohabiting couples where there are no children amount to 148,400 couples, and couples who have dependent children are 130,800.
That's plenty of people then. A lot of people in that situation.
It is. It's an awful lot of people, Beth. And lots of people think that because they're living together, they are something known as a common law husband and wife, or that they're in a common law marriage. And it's just simply not the case.
I did think that actually that there must be some rules that mean you are still almost bound together. What could some of the issues be, though? Because, I mean, it's only one of those things that you can think about either when a relationship ends or if there's some kind of drama in the relationship. But what are the risks of living with another person, potentially having children with another person, but without having anything like a marriage or a contract in place?
Well, the first difficulty is lack of security. You quite simply just don't know where you stand. If you are in a relationship with another person and you are bound to each other financially, or you may have children, then what you need to do is try to have some form of arrangement put in place and documented so that you know exactly where you stand. When times are good is the time to sort all of this out, rather than when a relationship is starting to fall apart, or sadly, when the other person may have died.
They are. It's one of those things, actually, which must come up a lot in your job, actually, that often they're quite hard things to think about, aren't they? They're not easy, pleasant situations, particularly in aspects of family law. But if you don't think about them and you don't plan for them, I guess you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot, really.
You are. You can be at severe financial disadvantage if you don't address these things in the good times, because that's what you need to do. You're in a relationship with somebody, or you're contemplating beginning a financial connection with somebody. You're talking about moving in with another person. And that is the time when you need to have a think about what you're doing and get some legal advice. Know your rights and get the advice so that you can properly document the relationship and the financial connection that you've got with that other person. Let's think of an example, the Bank of Mum and Dad. You're buying a house with somebody and you are getting a loan from a family member. You need to think about what you're going to do if that relationship were to break down or you sell the property. What's going to happen to the deposit that's come from somebody in your family? Or another example, you might be living with somebody, have children together, and you give up your career. You might be sitting at home looking after the children, listening to the radio, and your other half is out at work furthering their career. Now, if that relationship comes to an end, you're probably going to be at a financial disadvantage. There can be any number of different scenarios whereby you're at a financial disadvantage, and it's only fair and right that both parties to that relationship should exit the relationship, if that's what they're doing, when the relationship's broken down, on an even footing.
What would your advice be then, Julie? If somebody is listening to this and thinking, that's me, or that's somebody I know, and I'm just concerned that we haven't got a plan in place, what should they do?
Don't be afraid to talk to the other person. Know your rights, get some legal advice, and document your intentions from the start. If you start from the point at which you both have the same point of view as to how you're going to exit the relationship, if that's what happens, then you can sit back and enjoy the relationship and not worry about it.
Well, Julie Fawcett, thank you so much. You and the team at Newton Solicitors are, of course, available, I presume, if somebody would like to get in touch and have and chat through it with you.
We are. It's very easy to get in touch with us. Just Google us, Newton's Solicitors, or have a look at our website. It's newtons.co.uk, and there's lots of really useful information. There's a little picture of me as well, and you can see all of our family team on there.
Fabulous. Julie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Newton's Solicitors on Stray FM's Family Show.